teenager, graduate from high school, who is a success. And I started making a list of those things. And then I thought, okay, well, so how are we getting them? What are we doing? How do you get successful Christian teenagers? And it hit me. Every single one of those traits, the only way anybody can ever get them is through the Bible. It's through the scriptures. So if this is true, and it is true, all the different aspects of a person's life, whether a child, a teenager, or an adult, whatever we are by the grace of God. You agree? We are also not only by the grace of God, we are what we are through the Word of God. So if they're going to be Christian teenagers, graduate from high school, from our youth group, and go down to this world, and we say they're really successful Christian teenagers, then we say that because obviously from what we can see, all the different areas of their life are all in line with the Bible. God's doing it through Scripture. And I made up my mind again, look, you just stick with teaching and preaching the Word of God. You can have all the activities, and we do. You can have all the activities, have all the fun things, get it all done, but at the basis of everything, you better keep teaching and preaching the Bible. And that's led me to this. Isn't the Bible clear about the fact that being a successful person is tied in with the Word of God? You got your Bible open, Joshua 1. Do you know verse 8? Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, is that scripture now? Is that talking about the Bible here, the Word of God? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way, next word, prosperous. And then thou shalt have what? You tell me. Good success. Did you get that? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you know Psalm 1, verses 1, 2, and 3? Same message, different words. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? You tell me. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, you finish it, doth he meditate day and night. What's the results? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Finish it. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How does it come? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. James 1, 22 through 25. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. It's all about the Bible, the scriptures. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And he says in the same passage, he being whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Got successful, prosper, blessed in his deed. And in Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1, 1, 2, and 3, and James 1, 22 to 25, the message is exactly the same. You want to be a successful, spiritual Christian, you better get in the Bible, and you better stay in the Bible. The Word of God is pretty important. And I'll tell you something else. Wherever you and I are right now as a Christian, we can pretty much put it down. We are what we are along the line of how much is the Word of God a part of our life. How much time do I spend in the Word of God? It's not just a matter of how much time, but how much do I focus on the Bible? Am I memorizing Scripture? Am I meditating upon the Scriptures? Do I ever really study the Bible? Do I talk the Bible to others? You know, we usually talk about what we're interested in. Would you agree with that? Usually we find ourselves talking about what we're interested in. Do we ever talk about the Bible? And living the Bible. And I'll tell you something else. If the Lord doesn't come back and we're all still alive in 5 years, I'll be 80 years old in December. So if I live another 5 years, the Lord doesn't come back, I can't imagine 85. That seems ancient, doesn't it? 85. Whatever I will be in 5 years from now, whatever you will be in 5 years from now, it will all be determined by how much you focus on this book for the next 5 years. I really believe that. I believe success or failure is all based on our relationship with this book in our daily life. And so whatever time we have this morning, whatever time is left, just a few things about the Word of God and how it can change our life. And three little introductory thoughts to lead us into that. First of all, things we need to be reminded about, continue reminded about. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. Would you say amen to that? What's the best verse probably to prove that? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means every word of God is God-breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It's the Bible's the Word of God. The Bible is not only the inspired book, the Bible is an eternal book. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where? In heaven. Forever. Matthew 24, 35. What did Jesus say? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And I love 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Forever. So the Bible is inspired, the Bible is eternal, and the Bible is powerful. Powerful. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. Paraphrased, okay? Just like there is a purpose for rain and snow, it comes down from heaven, it waters the earth, and it does something. It brings forth fruit, man. I tell you, my wife and I have enjoyed so much just traveling from, is it Miami, Oklahoma, or Miami, whatever, down there, Oklahoma. From there, up here, Fort Scott, we kept looking at beautiful fields. Look at that. We didn't know you were experiencing a drought. Everything looked green to us. It's like, this is so beautiful around here. You got to have rain, folks. I don't even like talking about rain this morning. You got to have rain. We don't need this much. We got to have rain. And God says, just like the rain comes down from heaven and it waters the earth and it brings forth, so shall my word be. It will accomplish that for which it's sent. It will not return void. God's word produces results. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul said, I'm so glad that when you heard the word of God, you did not receive it as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word that effectually, here's what he said, that word that effectually worketh also in you that believe. And that little two words there, effectually worketh, that's the word energeo in Greek, from which we get our word energy or energize or energetic. In other words, he says, the Bible is powerful. It does something. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is what? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is a powerful book. And so about as fast as I can go. In fact, if you want to jot them down, if you have notes, fine. Or I'll leave my notes with the chairman of the deacons or elders or whoever's around here. And you can run off copies and have them if you want to. Okay, but I'm going to give you some things that God says right in the Bible. You don't need a commentary to figure this out. You don't have to do a whole lot of what does the original word mean in the Hebrew and the Greek. You don't have to go there. It's like, I think I need some commentaries to explain it all. You know, it's God says right in the verse that something that happens in our life is going to come through the Word of God. This is always the Word of God. There's always mention of the Bible in the thought. Okay, so here we go. Number one, God's Word is powerful. It will result in the salvation of your eternal soul. Listen, nobody is saved without the Bible. You say, well, I got saved through a gospel tract. It had the Bible in it, right? I got saved through a gospel song. It had the Bible in it. Well, I saw this Christian movie when I was a teenager, you know, and I was saved through the movie. You got saved through the movie if the movie had the Bible in it, or if after the movie some counselor had enough sense to say, look, this is what the Bible says. Say, how can you say that? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We already quoted 1 Peter 2:23, being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. James 1, is it verse 18? Of his own will begat he us with a word of truth. Jesus taught in many parables. One of them was the parable of the sower. When he got all finished telling the parable of the sower, the disciples came and said, we don't understand the parable of the sower. Could you please explain this to us? Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand the rest of them. Remember he said that? I paraphrase that, of course. He said, the sower went out to sow, and he makes a thing. He said, the seed is the word of God. It's the Bible. It's the scriptures. Salvation comes through the Bible. You say, well, when I go out and witness, I like to give my testimony. It's okay. It's a good thing to do. I like to give my testimony, but our testimony doesn't bring Jesus to people. Our testimony does not result in salvation. It might get their attention. It might help them understand and help relate to things, but our testimony has to, in it, we have to give the Scriptures. Because it is a fact, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Number two, the Bible gives us assurance of our salvation. Just one verse. 1 John 5:13. What are the first two words? These things. What things? John says, these things have I written unto you. What's he talking about? The book of 1 John. The Scriptures. These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If we're ever going to have assurance of salvation, it's going to have to come through the Bible. You can talk to grandma, grandpa, you can talk to your best friend, you can talk to your sister, you can talk to your Sunday school teacher, you can talk to the person that led you to the Lord, you can talk to the visiting evangelist, you can talk to whoever you want to talk to. I just have a problem doubting my salvation. I just want to know that I'm saved, but I can't get assurance of my salvation. The only way anybody ever gets assurance of salvation is through this book. It's going to have to come down to, this is what God said. And listen, you say, well, I've struggled sometimes with assurance. You haven't struggled as much as I have. I went through a very tough time way back when I was in Pensacola where I really doubted my salvation more than you could ever believe. The only way you ever get assurance is to say, okay, what has God said? It's not how did I feel. It's not who talked to me. It's not anything else. What did I pray? How many tears did I cry? And all the rest of it. And it's like, what does the Bible say? And you get in the Scripture and you say, whoa, that's what God says. Now, if that is what God says, that's either true or not true. I choose to believe what God says. So basically what he's saying is here, these things I've written to you that do believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to doubt. You may know that your assurance comes through the Bible. Can you say amen to that? Comes through the Scriptures. Number three, the Bible will produce spiritual growth in your life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I think it's 2, 1 and 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Don't miss that. As newborn babes, desire, thirst for, crave for the word of God that you may grow thereby. We see this, somebody today introduced us to their six-month-old baby. You want the baby to grow? Better give them the bottle. Better get out there. You ever had baby food? I guess since you don't eat baby food when you're 6 months, do you know? Have you ever tasted baby food? That stuff's terrible. I don't know how any little baby can eat that stuff. Have you ever had Gerber's baby food spinach? When I was youth pastor, we had that in one of our things. If you wanted 100 points, you had to eat 5 bottles of this stuff. You can get a lot of points for that. Apple juice tasted pretty good. Apricot, some of that stuff. Spinach, some of that stuff. No, babies, they need it to. And listen, we need it to grow. Teenagers need it to grow. Old people like me, young adults like you need it to grow. As newborn babes, spiritually, as newborn babes, he said, you better desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Spiritual growth comes through the Scriptures. That's why we got to read the Bible every day. Keep growing. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How? Through the Bible. Another thing, the Scriptures, the Bible, it will keep us from yielding to temptation. It will keep us from committing sin. Psalm 19, do you know verses 9, 10, 11? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You say it with me, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart. You believe that? Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? What's the result? That I might not sin against thee. I had Brother Geyer read Matthew 4, 1 to 11. I said, I'm preaching a topical message, and I'm just going to mention this passage, but it's such a powerful verse because three times when Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was tempted by Satan to sin, how did he overcome? What did he do? Three times he says, it is written, and he quotes the Scriptures. Satan says, oh, you know the Bible? I know the Bible too. I'll give you some Scriptures. So he gives him Scriptures and says, why don't you do this? And what the Bible says, and Jesus says, no, you don't understand. The Scripture also says this. So this, it is written. Gives him a third. He says, it is written. Three times he comes back to the Bible. What Jesus is showing us there, amongst other things, is you want to overcome temptation from the world, the flesh, and Satan, you better stay in the Bible. better learn the Bible. I don't do a lot of counseling anymore, but I'm counseling a few people. A teenage guy has a real problem with pornography. I start right at the beginning. I said, I'm sorry, if you're coming to me to teach you from experience, I have to tell you, I don't have experience in how to overcome or get rid of that, because I've just never yielded to that temptation. It's just never been a part of my life. So if you're coming to me, it's not because, yeah, I've learned this is what you do to overcome. But I said, I'll tell you one thing. I can tell you why I've stayed away from it. So we just study the Bible. That's how you overcome temptation. Just study the Bible and you stick to listen to what God says. So if this is what God says, then it's either right or it's wrong. So three times it is written in Matthew chapter 4. 1 John 2 verse 14, John says, I have written it to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you've overcome the wicked one. That's a great verse to remember. I've written it to you, young men, because you're strong. Strong, yeah. And he says, you've overcome the wicked one. But he says, this is how you've done it, because the word of God abides in you. Ephesians 6, 17, the armor of God, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's one of the pieces of the Christian's armor. Fight Satan. Be strong in the power of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's one of the pieces? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus said in John 17, 17, in his prayer to his Father, he said, Father, regarding believers, disciples, sanctify them, cleanse them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Listen, cleansing, temptation, being overcome, being victorious over sin, it all comes through the Bible. I'll tell you something else the Bible do for us. Let me tie this in with adult Sunday school today. It will direct us into the will of God in every area of our life. Not just our career, but every single day. How do we know the will of God? It comes through the Bible. You know Psalm 119, 105. See, these are some things we've heard all of our life. Am I teaching anything you haven't heard before? How many of you say, yeah, everything you're preaching is just something brand new to me? I doubt it. You could quote most of these verses, but do we ever really put them together? How do we find the will of God in our life? Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It's the word of God that directs us into the will of God. Psalm 37, verse 23. I love this verse. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Think about that. The steps of a good man, the everyday steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And tie that with the Psalm 119, verse, what is it? I think 133. The psalmist says, order my steps in thy word. Put those two together. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And then the psalmist says, order my steps in thy word. So again, the Word of God should be the sole authority for everything we believe and everything we practice. How do we get directed into the will of God? The Bible. Would you turn, please, to 1 John, the Epistle of 1 John. Chapter 1, 1 John 1. I love the way this book starts. And it all leads up to verse 4 at the beginning of the book. This is the Apostle John writing. Listen to what he said about the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Introduction. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which you have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. This is not the word of God now. This is the word of life, Jesus Christ. He was from the beginning. Remember John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Remember that? Same was the beginning with God. Same kind of introduction. Okay? Here he says, look, he was not only God, he was also man. He was fully human. We heard him with our own ears. We've seen him with our own eyes. We gazed upon him intently with our eyes. He said, we touch him. Our hands have handled of the Word of life, for the life, eternal life, was manifested, and we have seen it. And bear witness, we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and now was manifested or revealed, made known to us. He says all that to say this, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things, would you say verse 4 with me? Would you read it please out loud together, verse 4? Here we go. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be what? What things? The things He's written. Do you ever get sad? Do you ever get gloomy? You get depressed once in a while? You a Christian? Get out the epistle of 1 John. Am I exaggerating? Get out the epistle of 1 John and start reading. Just keep on reading. Get done with the book, read it again. These things write I unto you, that your joy, he says, might be full. So read the Bible, especially specifically read 1 John. What did Jesus say in John 15:11? That passage on the vine and the branches? What did he say? These things, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. There's not a lot of joyful people around anymore. Would you agree with that? You say, no, everybody I know is joyful. Well, you're coming to church all the time. You say, yeah, just about everybody I know is happy all the time. They're just smiling all the time. They're just joyful people. And you're telling me that you're a Christian, that you must be with Christians all week long, be in church all the time. Because when you go to Walmart or Home Depot or Tractor Supply or Walgreens or wherever you go, go to the post office, go to Disney World, go someplace, and just look at people. There's not a lot of happy people around. Turn on the news, I think we all know why. Let's not go there. Okay? But I'm talking about just something that today it's hard, really, it's hard with all that's going on the last night or two. It's easy to see while maybe you can't smile for a while. I understand that. Those things happen, okay? But for the most part, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Be joyful in the Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Our joy is going to come through the Bible. That's how a Christian gets his joy, through the Scriptures. A couple more. It will encourage you. Here's what the Word of God will do. It will encourage you to witness with boldness. You say, well, I really struggle with witnessing. I know I should. I want to, but I just, it's hard to open my mouth and just say something. Okay, I'll tell you, it's true for me. It's true for all of us. The more our minds are on the Scriptures, the easier it is to witness. It's just the way it goes. It's just like, as the Word of God, in fact, if I get a little cold, a little lazy about witnessing, and I really want to get more into witnessing to people, you know what I do? I start reading the Gospel of John. I just start reading the Gospel of John. And when you get the Gospel of John in your mind because you're reading it, it's like, how hard is it to talk to people about that? John 5:24, what did Jesus say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 6:40, this is the will of him. Jesus said, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up the last day. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And I love John 20:30-31. He writes the book of John in there, right toward the end, second to last chapter. He says, let me tell you what this book is all about. These things, no, that's not how he starts. And many other signs, the word means miracles. He says, and many other miracles did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. What does he say? Jesus did a lot of other miracles, and he did them publicly in the presence of his disciples. They all saw him. And he said, I didn't write about all. I just wrote 7. And then one after the resurrection, he said 8. These things I did write, these miracles I did write for one reason. That as you read them, you will come to see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And as you come to believe him, you will have life through him. When you get those messages in your mind, it's just easy to start talking about it to people. Because the Bible, again, it gives us power in witnessing. It prompts us to witness. It comes from the joy that we have. And Jeremiah said in chapter 20, verse 9, listen to this. Jeremiah came to a really sad time in his life. He really did. He said, he came to the place where he says, it says in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, then said I, listen to what he says. He said, I will not make mention of him anymore, of God. I will not make mention of him anymore, nor speak anymore in his name, He said, I've determined to. Everything was looking so bad, so gloomy. He's down in his dungeon. He says, look, I'm not gonna prophesy anymore. I'm not gonna deliver God's message. I'm not gonna speak in God's name. I'm all done with this. Then he says, but he says, his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Have you and I ever experienced that? We just say, for whatever reason, no more witnessing. No more delivering God's message. Doesn't work. It's not doing any good. I feel terrible. Whatever's making us think like that, Jeremiah said, hey, that was me. I came to the place I'm not going to mention. I'm not going to speak in God's name anymore. But he said, I had a problem. I had God's word in my mind and heart. His word was in my heart as a burning fire. It was like shut up in my bones. And I got so tired of just holding back. I couldn't even stand. He said, I just had to speak. I'd like to live like that. How about you? It's going to come through the Bible. We've got to get the Bible in our minds. John 15. Turn to verse 7. John 15. You say, how many more are you going to give us? I'm not going to tell you. But we're almost done. We're getting close. You say, well, why can't you tell us? Don't want to. But I will promise you, I wrote in my notes when the pastor said we're supposed to be done. He said the service should end. You should be done preaching between 11:45 and 11:55. I will honor what he wants me. We will be out on time so you can relax. He said, well, he didn't tell you the truth. That's your problem. That's his problem. He just said, we're supposed to be done between 11:45 and 11:55. So I looked at my watch and said, we're doing okay. We'll be on time. So here's a good one for you. John, where did I tell you to turn? 15 verse 7, right? Okay, look at this. What did Jesus say? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Is this about the scriptures now? Jesus' words? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. What's that talking about? Prayer. The Bible helps us get our prayers answered. If you abide in me, Jesus said, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If I was really serious now about wanting to get my prayers really answered, I would listen to what Jesus said. And I would make sure that his words are abiding in me. Because God answers prayer as we pray according to the word of God. And that is the message, by the way, of 1 John. You don't have to turn. You can if you want to, but I'll quote him for you. 1 John 5:14-15. I already quoted verse 13. That's the verse about assurance of salvation, right? It has that word know in it. These things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. Good assurance verse. How about 14 and 15? What does he say? 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So if we want to get our prayers answered, we want to have confidence, assurance, that God is hearing my prayer and that God will answer my prayer, then we better make sure that that request would be in line with the scriptures. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If he hears us, he's going to answer. So how do we know, put it all together, how do we know the will of God? It's in the word of God. We've got to know our Bible. Being a student of the Bible makes us so much more an effective prayer. That's just how God has planned it. Romans 15:4. Here's another good verse to remember. Because God's word is powerful, it will give us comfort. It will give us hope. It will give us encouragement when we really need it. I don't know about you, but I could use encouragement once in a while. Anybody here? Just a little hope. Just a little comfort. Okay, Romans 15:4. Listen to this. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have, you know the last word? Hope. Whatsoever was written aforetime, he said, was written for our admonition. Why? Here's a good reason. He says, so that through the Scriptures, we can have patience and hope. So when you get discouraged, when you need some hope, when you get a little depressed, you get a little down, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't run. Don't quit. Don't hide. Don't take your life. Just get in the Bible. Because the things written in the Bible were written for our instruction, for our admonition, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, through the Scriptures, we might have hope. Just one more and we're done. Go, please, to 2 Timothy 3. Mention these verses at the beginning of the service, toward the beginning. 2 Timothy, please, chapter 3. And this is so important. So let's end with this one today, okay? God's word is powerful. God says in so many verses, my word will do this in your life. And here's the last one this morning. The word of God will keep us from accepting false doctrine. We get spiritual discernment through the Bible. There's a lot of stuff out there, you just can't believe it. Would you agree with that? You ever go to Mardell's bookstore? Can't just go buy any book, can you? Can you just go online, go to Amazon and get any Christian book out there? Are you serious? If you need some information about something today, you know, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? I got to figure this thing out. I know, what does the Bible say? What am I supposed to believe in all that? You just say, well, I'll just Google it. Now listen, I Google things once in a while too, and I'm always hesitant when I do it. When if I go to the Bible, I know I'm going to get the right answer. I'm not always sure I'm going to get the right answer from Google. But I know one thing, I can go to the Bible. 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17. All, not some, all of it. All, and the word Scripture is graphe, which is writing, the words. Every word of God is given by inspiration of God. And that's, in Greek, that's one word, God-breathed. Every word is God-breathed. But that's not the end of the verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God's book is a powerful book. And one of the things that it does that's so important, it tells us, it gives us the mind of God, it tells us what God's truth is. And that's why we have the Word of God today to help us in these days in which we live. To help us sort it all out. What's right, what's wrong? Who's telling the truth and who's not telling the truth? Let's close with this, please. Go to 2 Timothy 4. Let's look at another passage on this same thing, that the Bible will help us spot error. You can't just turn on your TV and watch every evangelist on TV. Would you agree with that? You got to really be careful. How do you check out? How do you know what's truth, what's not truth? How do you know what to believe? 2 Timothy 4, verses 2, 3, and 4. I'm sorry, 1, 2, and 3. And we'll go to 1 through 4. I charge thee, Paul writing to Timothy, the young pastor. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, the living, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Timothy, here's what you got to keep doing. And I'm so thankful. I know you get this in your church all the time. This is what Pastor Ben's all about. I know that, all right? Preach the word. The instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, how? Through the word. Rebuke, how? Through the word. Exhort, how? Through the word. With all long-suffering and doctrine. Keep the focus on the word of God. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Just please, preacher, tell me something I want to hear. Tell me something that'll make me want to come back that I'm really excited about. They shall turn away their ears from what, folks, out loud? From the truth. They'll be turned into fables. How can we put ourselves in a place where we can spot error and we say that is not right? I remember many years ago, in fact, as we were in Tampa, Florida, my wife and I went to St. Pete across the bay to hear a well-known preacher. I won't tell you who he is. We were so excited to get to hear this well-known preacher preach. About halfway through the message, he said something. I don't even remember what it was. Okay, can't remember. Must have been 40 years ago. I don't know. It was 50 years ago. Long time ago. But I remember this. I nudge my wife. She gets this often when she sits next to me in church. I nudge my wife and I say, that is not true. I said it real softly. People around me didn't hear it. Okay. I said, that is not true.
I thought, whoa.
And then he said something else. I thought, that is not true. This is this well-known preacher everybody wants to hear preach. What he just said, it is not true. He said, how could you say that? Because it was so clearly against a verse. I remember it was in the book of Hebrews, and I thought, this is what God says in this verse, and this is true. What he just said is the opposite of this. What he said is not true. He said, well, you got up and stomped out. I did not get up and stomp out. You got up and said something out loud. I did not say something out loud. But it was hard for me to get anything out of the rest of the message. How did I know that what he said was not true? Same way you know something that I say it's not true. Hope you're not doing this. Anybody during, don't raise your hand. Anybody during the message, that's not true, Pastor Carter, that's not true. I hope not. At least I've given you all the Bible. I haven't given my own opinion about things. We know what's true or false because we got this book. This is a powerful book. And if you don't remember anything else today, remember this. You better be reading this book every day. Sometime. You better be thinking about what we're reading. You better be asking God to help us understand it. You better be like meditating on it, you know, maybe memorize it, talk about it, live it. It's God's powerful word. And when the doors are open at church, Pastor Ben did not ask me to preach this because he has no idea what I'm preaching. I was determined. I told Pastor Ben, I will do for you like I do when I was a pastor. When somebody come in and take my place, I'd say, could I ask you a favor? Number one, don't preach something controversial. Everybody arguing about it. And number two, don't try to correct any problems you think there are in church. Just don't do that. There's a lot of things in the Bible you can preach. So preach something that's simple and clear and people can understand it. And don't try to stir up some kind of controversy. Let me do that. I'm the pastor. And if you think there's some problem in our church, don't try to fix it. Let me fix it, okay? So I said, Pastor Ben, I will do that in your church. I will not preach something controversial. I will not do that. And I will preach something that I don't know your church. I don't know any problems, so I can't try to solve your problems if you have any. I don't know what they are. But I will try to preach something that will help people every day in their life and help this be a better church. So here you go. Read the Bible every day. Study the scriptures. And when the doors are open here, be here. Sunday school, be here. Sunday morning, be here. Sunday night, be here. Wednesday night, be here. Revival meetings, mission, whatever, Bible school, be here. And when you get here, be attentive. Don't go to sleep. We'll check on the score and see how the Packers are doing. They'll do fine without you. Okay, just think while you're here. Focus, concentrate, listen. Be faithful in attendance and be attentive when you get there. I'm just saying, saturate your mind with the Word of God. It is amazing how God uses His Word to change our lives. Would you bow your heads, please? Why don't we stand together? Let's stand together with our heads bowed.